This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You ready to turn that panic meter up, Keith?
Yeah, I'm going to have to. It was pretty low prior to yesterday. I'm going to have to change it a little bit. A couple of notches. Yeah, I think I was about a 49. Panic meter goes to 100, obviously. I'm still at a 49. I am a bit shooketh. I got to admit, I'm shooketh.
Okay, good.
I did not expect this to happen.
Let's get in the trust tree and let's make some admissions.
No, it's a mess.
You're shooketh?
The game played out eerily similar to game one. Like, it was 20-point lead second half, see it slip away, have chances late, fumble it around. Obviously, a few different talking points at the end of this game as opposed to game one, but brutal. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stats that came out of the game. I think one of the craziest ones is no team has ever blown 20-point leads in back-to-back playoff games.
Oh, ever. Disaster.
Ever. Yeah, thank you, Haven. Ever in the playoffs. This is the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah, it's not good.
Because everyone's like, oh, the Knicks came back from 20. I'm like, no, the Celtics blew 20-point leads twice in consecutive games at home.
But, I mean, I will say this, and that's awful by the Celtics. No team's done that, as you said. And I know why. You start blowing 20-point leads, you're not going to be around in the playoffs for very long. You can't let games like that slip through your fingers when you should be winning those games. I mean, those should be wins you have in your back pocket. So I know why that stat's the case. The Knicks do come through in these spots, and the Celtics,
yeah.
Celtics haven't to this point. And it does make you wonder who's more calm and collected in the clutch, who can execute better in that spot, and who's playing tight. And right now it's clear which team that is. That's the Boston Celtics, down 0-2, following a 91-90 loss last night at TD Garden against the New York Knicks, a team that not only they swept in the regular season, but largely dominated in the regular season. So we'll get to your thoughts on this all day long. 617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch with Jones and Keith. Phone and text line. You can watch and chat twitch.tv or watch and chat at twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Good place to watch and chat, of course. Always a healthy chat going on there. Follow along on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith, and watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. And if you're watching today, you'll see we're live inside the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. We're brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Hurry in to get the employee pricing on the full lineup of vehicles. Ford, from America, for America. You said there's a lot of stats, a lot of concerns coming out of the game. Where do you start, Keith?
All right, let's start at the end. You want to start there and then maybe work our way back?
As a wise woman once said, it's a very good place to start.
Joe Mazzulla is getting a lot of blame after game one, right? Uh-huh. And you and I think, agreed that, like, you got to start with the star players. You got to look at Tatum. You got to look at Brown. They're going to get the most credit. They should probably get the most blame, right? I still think it starts with Jason Tatum. But for those that were critical of Joe Mazzulla, you have much more evidence today. You have way more evidence today. The way the game ended is insane. And, like, this, the coach had his fingerprints all over this.
I don't disagree, but what specifically?
All right, so he ran the same play and didn't call a timeout. Ran the same play against an NBA team, and in the postgame, admitted it. In the postgame, he was like, yeah, well, we just ran that before, and, like, Tatum got a bucket, even though not acknowledging the fact that the Knicks were able to sub, and they're a pro basketball team and just saw that play happen. They weren't going to let Tatum essentially get a fast break dunk two plays in a row. So they tried that. And what kills me is Tatum clearly didn't have it, right? Like Tatum went down. It was not the same setup as it was 12 seconds earlier. And he sort of crosses over. He doesn't fumble it, but it's not a clean crossover. There's still 6 seconds left. You got to call a timeout. You're Joe Mazzulla. You got to say, all right, we tried this. It didn't work.
So I agree with you.
We got to at least stop it and try to get something better.
I didn't hate back pocketing the timeout because maybe Tatum goes down and misses with 6 seconds left. The Knicks come down. They hit free throws. I didn't hate not calling a timeout on the inbound. Once the play is going south and tanking, you gotta be on your toes and call on a timeout to stop it.
But what about the play being the same play?
Not great. Okay. No, it's not great. And as you said, it's a completely different situation because there's different defenders on the floor. And so, yeah, I don't like running the same play. I mean, I get it. I mean, if they can't stop it, you run that again. Tatum did it so easily the first time.
But Mitchell Robinson, as much as we crap on Mitchell Robinson, like he wasn't in for that first one. They subbed him in at the free throw. So that does change things. Plus, you got to at least give them a little bit of credit to maybe pick up on what you just ran.
Yeah, I think that one can go both ways. If they run it again, it's like, how did the Knicks not stop this? I just think Joe being like perplexed by it not working is frustrating and speaks to, again, I mean, Joe's just like, well, we shoot a lot of threes and sooner or later they're going to go in. Well, we ran this play before and it worked. It's like, well, yeah, teams adjust. I don't necessarily hate running the same play a second time. You got to stop it. Prove to me you can stop it. It worked. Tatum's got ahead of steam. Go ahead and prove that you can stop it. And he should have called a timeout once it got blown up.
Right. And it was pretty clear that it was going to be blown up.
I don't necessarily hate running the same play again. Okay. I don't like being incredulous about it after the game. Like, well, it worked before. Of course it was going to work. No. Teams adjust. Teams make switches. Teams are ready for things once you show it to them one time. It's why you can't just, I was guilty of this in Madden, Keith.
Yeah.
You can't run the same play over again. It's just not, sooner or later.
All verticals.
Somebody's catching on sooner or later. Yeah. So I am not incredulous when it doesn't work out. That's more what bothered me is just Mazzulla not understanding how it didn't work.
No, and I think overall, Tatum and Brown are more to blame. But then when you listen to those guys post-game versus listening to Mazzulla post-game, it's easier to get more aggravated with Mazzulla.
Well, for sure.
He just blames everybody else.
Well, Tatum had, I guess, an excuse for not talking, but Tatum didn't talk.
True. Okay.
You know, so, I mean, I know the arena got evacuated.
It did.
Reporters were allowed back in. I'm assuming players were allowed back in. I'm sure he could have talked if he wanted to talk. He didn't.
Taillights.
But he has an excuse to not talk. So we didn't hear from Tatum after the game. But no, Mazzulla was ridiculously frustrating after the game.
And because it's coming off of game one, where he also came off as pretty defensive and, like, changing, not answering questions and just being like, I'm the smartest guy in the world and all that. And, like, oh, you just got to make shots. All right, well, now the same game plays out. You do nothing. You just stand there as a 20-point lead slips away again. And this one you had your fingerprints on even more, just the way the game ended with the back and forth there at the end, and takes no accountability on it. So it's like you want to blame him even more than he probably deserves because it still comes down to the players. But, I mean, in a game like this, when you cough up 20-point leads in consecutive games, there's obviously plenty of blame to go around. Nobody's playing well.
No.
There's really nobody you can look to yesterday where you're like, all right, that guy had it.
No. In game one, at least, right. You were like,
Drew Holiday
had a good game. Right. Last night, I don't feel like anybody.
I don't think anybody had a good game.
Played particularly well.
No.
So Tatum would be at the top of my list, but let's stick with Mazzulla here for a moment. We can get to Tatum coming up with all your phone calls again. 617-779-7937. Let's hear the exchange you're referencing there, Keith, on the final sequence at the end of the game. It's a back and forth with our guy, B-Rob.
B-Rob's right in it.
I was yelling at my TV because B-Rob and him got into it, yesterday?
After game one, yeah.
I'm sorry, or the day in between the games. Yeah, on Tuesday. Going into game two yesterday, they kind of got into it a little bit.
The duality of man.
And, it's so weird. The Knicks hit their threes and we missed ours. Boy, that's an interesting concept.
Novel concept.
Yeah, like, why? Just make some. Just make some threes. That's all we got to do. Which, by the way, they did not, last night in game two.
They're 25 of 100.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a good ratio.
Uh-huh.
But I was yelling at my TV. I'm like, B-Rob, get him. Get him, B-Rob. Here's the exchange. Yep.
Joe, what was the thought process with not calling time out there of 12 seconds left?
I had one left. Got a good look on the exact same play 20 seconds earlier. Tried to execute the exact same thing. They did a better job of their lower pickup point, and we weren't able to get the advantage that we had on the last Tatum dunk. So good full court setting. They subbed out Towns. Weren't able to sub out Brunson. Had action there, and we just didn't execute.
OK, Okay, so stop.
Embarrassing.
So hang on. There's more. But
it's pathetic.
That part jumps out to you in the exchange. Okay, yes. Interesting. So you don't.
No. I don't think it's anything like B-Rob v. Missoula 2.0. I think it's comical to me that he admits it.
He's like, we ran the same play, and for some reason, it didn't work.
Rather than be like, ran the same play.
I'm off the hook because we ran the same play.
We got a good look before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're always going to get a good look. Like, that's crazy to me. You're an NBA coach.
Okay.
There's an NBA coach on the other side.
Yeah.
With five NBA players, and you run the same thing. It's not like you ran it. Oh, we ran it in the regular season. We ran it against them, or even game one. No. You ran it 12 seconds earlier. And he even says, like, well, we got a good look on that. You didn't get a good look on this one. The Tatum
okay, well, hang
before,
on.
He scored in like 2 seconds.
Well, yeah. Full head of steam. Blue pass.
It looked like a
Robinson.
Fast break point.
It did. I think he thinks they got another good look. Listen to this. There's more to this exchange, which this was
not a good look.
This is what jumped out to me. So let's hear the second half of that exchange, because B-Rob. Yeah, B-Rob's a little emboldened now. He's not going to get Bulldog B-Rob.
I think the B stands for Bulldog.
He is not going to get boxed around by Missoula, so he follows up.
And then but how much is the time consideration a factor there with 12, like giving yourself a couple cracks at it, you know, if you advance the ball there potentially?
Yeah, I mean, you know, absolutely. So you don't know that at the point of you know, JT was driving left, you know, thought he had a good look, saw it at an angle, didn't shoot it, and, you know. Ran out of time.
That's all that happened.
Had a good look, didn't shoot it. So once again, burying the player.
So that's
Missoula loves to bury the
so
player.
That's what jumped out to me. Now, this is the same guy who in game one against Orlando is yelling at Tatum to get up.
Right.
Now, on the final sequence of a loss to go down 0-2 at home against New York, he says, I don't know, I thought Tatum had an angle and he didn't shoot it.
Yeah.
Like, that is burying.
No, after game one, it was like, we need to make them.
Yeah.
They made them. We didn't make them. So just putting it on the guys that need to make shots. Nothing about him. Nothing about adjustments.
I mean, Missoula
might have called. You called the same thing twice.
Missoula might as well say, yeah, I called a good play. Tatum's got to do something with it. Like, yeah. I mean, you might as well just say that. That's what you're saying.
That's basically what he said. No, all I can think of is the guy from I Think You Should Leave when he was like, oh, my God, he admitted. And he's like, we ran the same play twice. We got a good look before. Thought we could run it again. It's like, no.
He loves his mother-in-law.
You have to marry your mother-in-law. So he could, but he could have stopped it. You could have had the best of both worlds, I guess. You could have said, hey, maybe we will catch the Knicks with their pants down. Maybe we will score right away. We like that play. We put the ball in Tatum's hands.
But if it's not there.
It's not there. We have all this time.
Time out.
Time out. Then actually run something. Like, do you not have a play, like another play to run?
Oh.
Maybe not.
It doesn't seem that way.
Honestly, maybe not.
I mean, I've watched them now for a couple of games against the Knicks. Does not seem like so they have a lot of end-of-game plays. No.
Celtics had a chance to tie it in overtime in game one.
Yep.
Didn't get a shot off.
Nope.
Had a chance to win it in the end of game two. Didn't get a shot off.
No.
That's rough. That's a rough go.
It's not ideal.
But Missoula's not putting any of that on him.
No.
Which is infuriating.
Why do you think that is? You think he's just – is it like an ego thing? Or do you think he's actually concerned about his future?
He is a maniac, so it is hard to kind of get inside his head and figure out what he's doing. But I have a very harrowing stat, if I'm using that word correctly.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Harrow.
So, yeah, my guy. So this is, if I'm Missoula, we talked about how, you know, yelling at Jason Tatum, maybe not the best thing for job security.
No, he hasn't heeded that advice because now after game two, he's
burying the guys.
He actually had a good look.
You know what's a wild stat?
What's that?
So out of the five head coaches that won the NBA Finals prior to Missoula. Okay. Right, so Missoula won it last year. So the five previous, five different teams, right? Because we were talking about, hey, nobody's won back-to-back. So five different head coaches have won the NBA title prior to Missoula. Do you know how many are still with their team?
Okay, so Kerr definitely.
That's it.
That's the whole list?
Yeah.
Nick Nurse is gone.
Nick Nurse gone. Frank Vogel.
Gone.
Gone.
You don't even count that one.
Mike Frank Budenholzer.
Budenholzer gone.
Michael Malone.
And Malone.
Yeah. So you win a title, you're like, oh, that's job security. It is not.
Okay, well, and if you remember, Missoula was asked about this in real time when Malone got fired, and his answer was something like, well, you know, this is like what we sign up for, and and we talked about that at the time. We're like, you know, you could not win a title 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily think one at the time. The way this is going, I don't rule anything out. I wouldn't call it likely, but I don't rule anything out.
But the formula to that, too, is, and you heard it in the intro, the stat, was it Harlan that had it?
Yeah.
Like, not only have teams not won back-to-back.
They don't get out of the second round.
They lose in the second round, which also speeds up the process of those guys getting canned And then it's, you know, how does your best player feel about you? I would say that's the only guy that could probably save you. If Jokic really wanted Malone, or if Giannis really wanted Budenholzer, I think those guys would still be there. They did not.
No. Well, when you start to lose, and I don't mean like have a losing record, but start to not win a championship, yeah, and people start looking at you.
Especially when you're the heavy favorite. They were minus 800 to win the series.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this whole thing.
They're still minus. I heard Shime say that this morning. When I looked it up last night,
I thought you said they were plus.
They were briefly plus 110. That's changed this morning. They're minus.
I put too much money on it.
They're minus 120. is what I heard Shime say that, and I was like, let me fact check.
I put a PS5 on it.
He's so right. Last night, the Celtics were plus money some places. I'm not saying everywhere, but they were plus money last night for the series. Buying opportunity?
Or sucker's bet. Buying opportunity. Well, because if they win on Saturday,
yeah,
it's going to drastically
change. It's going to skyrocket.
Yeah.
I heard Curtis say this as well. If you swap Thibodeau and Mazzulla, I actually got asked about this the other day on TV, Keith Bragg.
Oh, wow.
Going nice. Into the series. Going into the series.
Brag, bro. Must be nice.
Thank you. And I was asked who's the better coach in the series going in. I'm like, Mazzulla, easy. Tips,
yeah,
thinks.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that's been the case through the first two games. I still think Mazzulla's a better, yeah, coach than Thibodeau. If you swap the coaches, are the Celtics up 2-0?
No. I don't know about that. I don't know if you swap the coach. And I'm down on Mazzulla, trust me, right now. No, I'm very down on Mazzulla.
If they're still down 0-2 with a different coach, then it's about Tatum, and it's about Brown, and it's about the players.
Well, it's tough because if Thibodeau's actually the coach here, but Brad Stevens is still running the show, like from the front office, are they taking as many threes still? Or is Thibodeau being like, hey, we're not doing that? Because Thibodeau, you would think, would have a better defensive team in New York, and he doesn't. So he's sort of changed his ways a little bit, welcoming in Karl-Anthony Towns and kind of playing that way. But if, let's say they switch the coaches, but it was the same regular season, 53s a game, that kind of thing, I don't think Thibodeau's going to make them hit all their shots. Yeah. I mean, the big story is they are just missing at an alarming rate.
And the crowd was on them. The crowd was on them early when, yep, they were missing last night. Yeah. They looked tight.
Yeah,
they looked tight early.
Well, it's
on
a hard watch
on threes.
Brick City is a hard watch.
Crowd's on them. They know it. We've been talking about it for 48 hours straight going into the game, and, yeah, it's like they can't keep launching threes. And they played like it was in their head. They looked like it was in their head last night. So, look, I think if Thibodeau were here, they'd still be down 0-2. I blame the players. I'm not saying Mazzulla's blameless. The head coach gets some blame. I didn't like the end of game. I really hate listening to him after the game, after some of these losses. But that's more of a like a taste and aesthetic. That's not necessarily how he's coaching the game. I look at the players. They gotta, in Mazzulla's words, make some shots. Yep. And that does not just mean launch away from three.
Bombs
that
away.
Means, all right, you were trying to play some bully ball and go to the hoop last night. You got to hit those. Those I'm a little more with Mazzulla on. 617-779-7937. Jones and Keefe live in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, taking you up to the Red Sox and the Rangers today. It's an early one, 1:35. Pregame starts at 12:35. We're going to stick around with Joe Weil. Talk a, yes, little Sox on the pregame show today,
good,
Keith.
Good, good.
Extended Jones and Keith, little treat for you with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Let's get into Jason Tatum and his night. Do the Tatum haters have a point?
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sure, what went behind Hack and Mitch to put them into the bonus, and then they just simply pulled him out and put Ananobi in?
I mean, he's a plus 21, and he's really effective for them. And that's something that... We need to do a better job in those minutes, is be more effective when he's on the floor. So plus 19, sorry.
So it's just kind of basically getting him off the floor. Like that was the...
If you can, yeah. We have to do a better job of offensively attacking him, attacking the team when he's in. And obviously he poses a threat on the offensive end with his offensive rebounding. So we got to do a better job of winning those minutes for him to be plus 19. He's one of the reasons why they were able to win the game tonight.
So this I do think is Mazzulla's ego. Joe, why are you hacking Mitchell Robinson? Especially when you're not in the bonus. Like that was crazy. They weren't in the boat. The first time they fouled Mitchell Robinson, I'm like, great foul. They're going to throw him at the line. Good idea. Get him at the line.
Did you see his one free throw attempt?
Yeah, his knees don't bend, Keith. I tried to tell you this the other day.
That was odd.
His knees don't work.
I understand people have the yips, but that is just tough.
An air ball. I think did he even get net?
I think it may have went 8 feet hot. Like he's almost 7 feet and he threw the ball maybe like a foot over his head and like it maybe hit the net barely.
And Mazzulla looks at that and goes, We got to get this guy off the floor.
Get this guy out of here. Like, changing your game plan for Mitchell Robinson is insane.
Crazy.
Like, that is such a bad sign.
I also tried to tell you this.
But he's hyping him up, too. He's like, plus 19. Like, he is not Shaquille O'Neal. Stop it.
It's a real thing. My Knicks fans buddies are texting me last night. Bing, bong, bing, bong. They're up 2-0. I've got nonstop. Like, I'm getting all these texts.
Bong.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And they're like, Mitchell Robinson's
the
difference.
Truth.
They're like, he's a difference maker. I'm like, he's terrible. Not only is he not a difference maker, yeah, he should get off the floor. Who cares what his plus minus is?
Do you know how many points in the regular season Mitchell Robinson averaged this year?
Six?
Five.
Nice.
Five. But if you can get him off the floor, you got to do it.
It's just, that's so.
But they fouled him. But I think you're messing with the team. Like, the team's not used to doing this strategy. They don't do this to other bad free throw shooters.
No.
And so when they're out there on the floor, you see them looking at each other like, do I foul now? Do you want me to foul? Like, just play.
Then they fouled him three straight times. They weren't even in the bonus. All you did was just give away a bunch of it. It did nothing.
It did something. It then allowed Jalen Brunson to go to the line and other guys to go to the line that can actually make free throws. So that you do foul him.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
They fouled him three straight times. Yeah. He never went to the free throw line. They subbed him out. You see Thibodeau? Thibodeau like even lost track too. I don't even think he did that great of a job. He's like, Ananobi, get in there. And then he's like, oh, wait.
You don't need to muck it up.
One more foul to give. Why did they do? They gave away three fouls in a 3 second span. Mitchell Robinson took no free throws. All you did was give away fouls and put the Knicks in the boat. Why on earth did they do that? That made no sense.
The top seed or the heavy favorite completely changing their game plan, I can't imagine works out very often.
No.
This is going back for a few years, but do you remember when the Golden State Warriors pre-Curry were an 8 seed with guys like Monte Ellis and all those guys, and they beat Dallas, the 1 seed.
Jay Rich.
And if you remember, going back to that series, I think Avery Johnson was the head coach of Dallas. They were the 1 seed, heavy, heavy favorite. They changed their starting lineup. They like changed their rotations because they're like, well, the Warriors do this. It's like, you have Dirk. Like, you're the Mavericks. Like, why are you altering your lineup for them? And they lost. They're one of like a handful of 1 seeds ever to lose in the first round. But that was weird in real time, just like this is. Now, I know it wasn't all the free throws like it was in game one, but still just like fouling them, getting yourself out of rhythm. You're already out of rhythm on your own. You're missing shots left and right, but there's no way this is helping.
No, it's getting you out of rhythm. And again, every foul after that, the Knicks went to the free throw line.
Right. So then you have real free throw shooters going to the free throw line.
So do I think they lost the game because of the hack of Mitch stuff? I don't think that's why they lost.
No, but throw it on the pile.
Add it to the list. Yeah. That's clueless. That is, when I say paint by numbers, that is paint by numbers. We got to foul Mitchell Robinson. We gave away a bunch of fouls. It made no sense. Let me give you another one. We were just talking about this off the air. This wasn't something that really jumped out to me other than I just thought it was noteworthy. Tatum started the fourth quarter last night. But as we were talking about it in the break, Mazzulla played Horford the entire fourth quarter.
Horford and Holiday.
Andrew Holiday the
played
entire
all
fourth
12
quarter.
Minutes.
And Tatum started the fourth, which is not unheard of, but it's rare. Tatum played the whole third. He started the fourth. He played about 3 minutes. And I thought this in real time. The Knicks made a little run. It was 12 at the end of the third. It had been 20. They had a 20-point lead multiple times. Knicks got it down to 12. And you're like, okay, it's a bit of an uncomfortable spot. So I think he stuck with Tatum there. And I think he felt the Knicks breathing down their necks a little bit. And he's like, let's put him away. Let's stomp him out. We'll get one more kick out of Tatum, and we'll put him away. They didn't.
No.
And I wonder if panic set in a little bit with the Celtics there. It was a bit of a panicky move
yeah.
to stick with Tatum. I didn't really think that in real time, but looking back at it, I wonder if that affected them.
Yeah, I think it must have. And I think game one is just so fresh. And it's like, all right, is that an anomaly? Like, you would think this is a team that won a title last year, so they should be comfortable in these moments. Big lead, close game, whatever it is, they should be comfortable. But it was like they were almost prepared for the deja vu from game one. Because it's not like, I don't think the defense was really all that bad. We saw more of that in game one where the bad offense led to bad defense. They gave up 91 total points.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson, I think, made one more shot than Tatum on the same number of attempts. Like, he didn't like light you up. He didn't go like Donovan Mitchell or.
No, he was better in the fourth and down,
yeah, he
and,
was know, good
final,
in the fourth.
The final 2 minutes or whatever, but I agree.
But before the game?
Brunson didn't have a great night. No.
So this was more about their offense and then like that stretch. What did the final number end up being? They didn't make a bucket for like 8.5 minutes.
8+ minutes, yeah. I can get it for
that's
you,
insane.
But it was 8+ minutes.
Sorry, that's how you lose a game by when you're up by 20 in the second half. That's inexcusable.
They went more than 8 minutes without a field goal. They missed 13 straight shots. They went.
And they weren't all threes, but a bunch of them were threes.
Correct.
And they also turned it over a bunch.
Let's see.
Actually,
let's
Terp had a good tweet on this. Did you see Bill Simmons retweeted his.
Retweeted Terp?
Retweeted Terp.
I did not.
Yeah. Terp had a stat about their final. Here, let me look it up. But just how inept they were in that fourth quarter.
Pure Hoops.
Yeah, Pure Hoops said Celtics, after taking a 20-point lead. All right, so this dates back to 3 minutes, 12 seconds in the third quarter.
Yeah. Celtics had two 20-point leads, 405 and 312 of the third. Yep.
So they were, after that moment, they went 5 of 28 from the field, nice. Which is under 18%.
Nice.
They went 2 of 14 from three, and they turned it over 6 times. Bill Simmons retweeted that and said, it felt worse.
Yeah, it did.
It actually did.
Pritchard hit a three to put him up 16 with 8:40 left in the fourth. They did not make another field goal. Field goal. Until the Tatum dunk with 18 seconds left to go.
Yeah, right. The Tatum dunk, which was such a good play. They called it twice.
It was
like, hey, look at this. We finally scored. Let's run the same thing seconds later.
It was a 21-2 Knicks run. The only two in there were a couple of free throws.
Yeah.
No made buckets from 8:40 until 18 seconds left.
So like, think about how bad you have to be, because the Knicks, it's not like they lit it up. Like, I mean, they scored, 30 points. They did have a good quarter, but if you just hit a couple of buckets, it's not like they were going to run out of time. Like, you had a big enough lead, you could have easily won.
Not great.
You can talk about it all day
long here on WEEI. Jones and Keefe with you until 12:35. We're going to stick around, do some Red Sox pregame with Joe Weil, taking you up to the Red Sox and Rangers. Some afternoon baseball today at Fenway Park. Let's start it up with the phones. Mark's in Medford. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going okay.
So there are teams in this league that don't attempt 103 pointers in a week's worth of games. That's like 3 or 4 games. Okay. Let alone miss 75% of them. Okay. Yeah. Guess what's not working right now? Okay. The 3-pointer. That's not working.
Okay.
But I have a question.
Oh, I have one question.
Right.
Yes.
My question is this. Say the Celtics win Saturday. Okay. But the rest of the way, the games are this close. Do you see the Celtics winning the series? Because I do not.
Yeah. How panicked? I know you're.
I mean,
panicked.
I'm up
to a 49 on the panic meter. If the Celtics win on Saturday, I'll feel good about their chances winning the series.
I'm on alert.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's threat level midnight, but no. If they win the series, because it is. The nature of a 7-game series, Jones. We get so caught up in each game, as we should. That's what we got. But let's say the Celtics won last night and then lost game three. So they're still down 2-1. But isn't the feeling way different than like it is right now?
Yeah.
Whereas if they win on Saturday, it's still 2-1 Knicks. But I guess you're saying, well, they lost the two home games and everything else. I still think they win the series, and maybe I'll be saying that like as they're getting eliminated. Like, they're going to turn this thing around right now. I still think they win the series, but I don't know if it's I took New York lightly or maybe I just assumed the Celtics would play better, or maybe both. Maybe it's that combination. But
Saturday's a must-win. Will you say that? Like, we were mocking Perk for Game 2 being a must-win. Saturday's a must-win.
Well, somebody's got to be the first to
come. No, it could be them.
Hey, why not them?
No.
Yeah.
Saturday is a must-win.
All right, Saturday is a must-win.
It's not an elimination game, I get that.
Not an elimination
game. That one, for me, is a must-win.
All right, but Mark's point about all close games, because we were saying the Celtics might not play a lot of close games. So even if you like Jalen Brunson in the clutch better than you like Tatum or Brown,
the Knicks got to keep it close.
They got to keep it close, and they have. No, well, they have and they haven't.
Well,
they've found themselves down 20 in both these games.
But at the end, they've kept it close. That's what matters. No, if they're close games, to answer his question, I trust the Knicks.
Yeah.
I said that going in. I trust Brunson more in these spots than Tatum. I didn't think the Knicks could keep it close.
I don't know. Missoula could be hanging on. Maybe he's got something up his sleeve for late in the game.
I understand Mark's criticism about the threes. Like, game one was egregious, and I know they're 25 for 100. I actually give him credit for dialing back the threes last night. They took 40.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with that number. I really don't. They got to shoot them better, obviously, but like 40 to me is a reasonable number. 60 was wild, especially when they were missing like they were. I think they made a concerted effort to shoot fewer threes, and I give them credit for that, to be honest.
And most teams do shoot a million threes. Yeah. I mean, the
Knicks shot 31 last night. They didn't shoot.
They do, and the Knicks are actually towards the bottom of the league, actually. The Knicks and the Nuggets, as far as teams that are still playing right now, don't shoot a ton of threes, but the Cavaliers, who we all thought we were going to see in the conference finals, we may or we may not, they shoot a ton of threes. The Warriors, who are still playing, they shoot a million threes. Celtics take more than everybody else. I mean, somebody's going to be at the top of that pile, but I don't know. Modern NBA, it doesn't take too many teams.
If they're shooting 40 a night, I have zero problem with that. 60?
Well, when you're missing so many, too, like, it is tough. Like, they just all have that mind of a goldfish, I guess, where they're like, oh, forget about the last eight misses.
They need to remember the misses a little more than they do.
Didn't you think the series against the Magic would have helped them a little bit more than it has?
You would think.
Because they proved they could win without the three-point shot. Now, I know they don't have the offense that the Knicks do, but you're doing a pretty good job defensively. You're holding Brunson in check. You held them to 91 points. So if you just played a little bit like you did against Orlando, you're probably up 2-0.
Look, it's pretty simple. Why are you down 0-2? Your best player is 1-for-12 in the fourth quarter of this series. I mean, that's why. Okay? I see actually 1-for-11 is the stat I'm looking at. I thought I counted 1-for-12. He was 0-for-7 in game one. I thought he was 1-for-5 last night, but let me double check that. Either way, he's 1-for-11, 1-for-12 in the fourth quarter of these two
games. He was 1-for-5 last night, 0-for-2 from three.
Yeah, so there you go. So he's 1-for-12.
And Jaylen Brown was scoreless in the fourth quarter.
Start with those two.
Yep.
Like, why are you down? You can point to the threes. We can nitpick the coach, and I'm fine nitpicking the coach. He's not off my list, but that's why you're down. And people who criticize Jason Tatum and wonder, can he come through in the clutch? Can he come through in big spots? ... When the other team's healthy and at full strength, I don't know. I think people questioning that are feeling pretty good about themselves, and we'll see how it shakes out over the rest of the series. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe live in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio. Let's get more into Jason Tatum, his start to the series. Let's get back into Porzingis as well. Where was he down the stretch? Should they have played him more? And what's going on with his health? We'll do that coming up next.
You know, in a way, it kind of takes all the pressure off of us, no? Like, now it's, I don't know, if you check the odds, maybe the Knicks are the favorites now to win. Who knows? You know, kind of, We were expected to win, so for us to be in this hole right now, we with our backs against the wall, we have nothing to lose. So we got to go out there and leave it all out on the floor. And again, I think it's a lot of basketball left to play, and let's see where this goes.
There might not be that much more basketball to play, KP. Just FYI, there might not be a lot, but it might be two more games.
Yeah, but the pressure's off.
I like
Porzingis, but that's
when I said the other day I was a little fatigued. I was fatigued on the Porzingis experience. I was just talking about, is he going to play? Is he not going to play
on the floor? Yeah,
like that whole thing. I mean, that's what a nonsense answer that is.
In the same postseason, we get that was my WWE moment. I'm bleeding all over the place. Crowd's going nuts.
True.
They might be the favorite now.
First
of all, they're not.
I've completely forgotten about that, but you're right. That should have been like this
great moment,
crowning moment for him, and everything he's done since then just stinks.
It's like, you're sick? Yeah? But you're not, but now you're back?
You can't score one-on-one with Cole Anthony, and then you're sick, and now the pressure's all off because you're down 0-2? Like, so what the hell?
But you can play, but you can't start.
Nope.
He played more minutes in the second half than he did the first half.
I was shocked. You said this earlier. I forget if it was on the air or off. You're like, he played in the fourth quarter. I'm like, he did?
He played 3:33. He had a bucket, one of the few buckets they had, and he had a free throw. So he had 3 points, two rebounds in 3:33. Probably could have played him more. I don't know why you needed Horford for
the whole quarter.
12 minutes in the fourth quarter when you couldn't score, you couldn't do anything. You probably should have changed it up a little bit.
Do you think they need him to beat New York to come?
I don't. No, I don't.
Me neither.
I'm nothing if not consistent.
If you need Porzingis, you're host. You're not beating any of these other. If you need Porzingis that badly,
yeah,
you're not going.
My evolution of my Porzingis takes were you didn't need him at all, to you only need him against Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
To maybe you need him against Cleveland. And that's kind of where it stopped.
So you're attacking some teams on. Okay, yep.
I started to. Yep. So when they played Oklahoma City in the regular season, and they even lost without Chet Holmgren, when they lost without Jalen Williams in one game, I was like, all right, they might need him against the Thunder. And then the Cavs. Now, the Cavs are all banged up too, but when the Cavs have Evan Mobley out there and Jared Allen and Hunter, they could probably use him against them. But I'm not going to change it now. I thought this would be a good series for, a good matchup for Porzingis.
Me too. I thought,
but it didn't mean they needed him.
I said this going in. I'm like, I thought the Celtics were so much better than New York. I'm like,
same.
You use this series to get Porzingis going. That's the way I phrased it going in. I'm like, focus on getting him right so you can use him going forward. And not only that, I mean, he was non-existent in game one. He was shut down in the second half of game one. Didn't start last night in game two, and I couldn't stand that answer from Porzingis.
You know what I think one of the trickle-down effects is, which I don't like, is Porzingis is kind of a non-factor, basically, in these games. And when you don't have Porzingis, your third leading scorer, third leading shot guy, or shot attempt guy,
White,
ends up being Derek White, which I don't like. Like,
what was White's breakdown last night? It was 11 threes on 17 shots. That's better than game one. That's still a bad ratio.
And I know, like, there are plenty of nights where he takes the third most shots, but something about it, like, when he's just out there bricking them from the outside, I'm like, is that really the best attempt that this team has? When you look at the five guys on the floor, and I know Tatum and Brown are going through it right now, and they're not shooting very well. But here it is, Derek White bombs away again. I'm like, I'm not loving that.
Not great.
I'm not loving that.
Coming up tomorrow, Jones and Keefe at 10:45, Top 5 Friday. We do that every Friday.
Ooh.
So stay tuned for it. I'm curious, would you keep Porzingis on the bench?
No. I mean, can he play? Is he available to play? Then I would play him.
Let me rephrase. Should he start game three?
Yes.
Start.
Yes.
Okay.
If you can play, you can play. And if you can't, you can't, is how I would look at it. And if Porzingis is able to give you, 13 and a half minutes? Now, was that, is he on some sort of minutes restriction? We don't really know much about this illness that he has, other than it's not COVID.
He didn't rule. It's not COVID.
We can rule out.
Yeah. We know it is definitely not COVID.
But I would play him or don't. I think it's weird, kind of working him in for, 3 minutes here and there. He had a stretch where he buried a three, had a dunk, and you're like, all right, there's something there, a little bit of a spark.
I'd probably
play him.
He didn't rule out after the game that it's related to his bronchial illness from earlier in the season, which, again, I mean, with him, I rule nothing out with this guy.
Could be Havana syndrome.
I don't know how many shows in the country dove deep on that, but we did that yesterday.
We just us.
If you missed it, it's on the Odyssey.
Uh-huh.
Let's go to the phones. Matt's in Brighton. Hello, Matt.
First of all, I want to say I'm sorry for wasting your time yesterday with that prediction.
What was that? The biggest blowout of all time, Keith.
Oh, right.
Oh,
that was OKC you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second of all, do I even waste the space in my suitcase? I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks with the Celtics jerseys. End of story. Have a great day, gentlemen.
What jerseys?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Good question.
What jerseys you got?
Oh, I got Bird. I got Kevin Garnett. And I also have a White because my last name is White.
All right. How about that? A little extra info about Matt and Brighton. Matt White and Bright.
Almost. Greg, bro. Almost too much.
Maybe too many that we could find him.
Yeah.
We wanted to.
Yeah, we really located him. There can't be that many Matt Whites.
Bird and Garnett. Those are good jerseys.
Bird, Garnett.
You can wear those. You can wear those proudly.
Bird, Garnett, yourself.
Yeah. Custom. If Adam Keefe ever played for the Celtics, I probably would have had to get one. Right?
Man. I thought you see now for a second.
He was an All-American at Stanford.
I thought you were combining the names for a moment as what I thought you were doing. Adam Keefe. Yeah. Hawks, Jazz. Where else did he play?
Yeah. Hawks, Jazz, Stanford.
Nice. Probably a lot of European teams.
Yeah.
Matt's in Rhode Island. Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? When they lost that series against the Heat, when they went down 3-0, came back 3-3, the first thing I heard from Mazzulla was saying they recognize the differentiation between analytics in the regular season and the postseason. But obviously they haven't, because he gets the printout, and it's like, no matter what you see, don't deviate from this plan, Coach. You know, it's getting out-coached by Tom Thibodeau, who's been around, but, I mean, really? Thanks.
Yeah, I don't think Thibodeau's a great coach.
No, this like there's a few guys out there. Like, you almost expect it against Spoelstra. I'd even say Rick Carlisle, still one of those guys that's up there. Ime Udoka, better coach. But, yeah, Thibodeau, I don't know, should be more of a wash or advantage Mazzulla, believe it. And even though we're down on him, it should be advantage.
I think they made an adjustment, whether it was Mazzulla, whether it was, you know, Stevens and the front office, Mike Zarin, I don't know who, but the adjustment to shoot fewer, it was a concerted effort to shoot fewer threes last night, so I give them credit for that. They didn't win. It didn't work. They didn't shoot well, but they
shot
did
the exact same percentage.
Okay, but they did take a lot less. If you're going to shoot 25%, take fewer, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They took 20 fewer threes than game one. I want to give them credit for that. But when you talk about, you know, just go through the motions and just don't deviate from the pregame plan, the Mitchell Robinson thing last night was egregious.
That's going to stop. And you wonder if it's just now you're so stubborn. Like, you're Joe Mazzulla, you're so stubborn. You're like, oh, if I don't do this, that means that you guys were right. So I was, you know.
If you're recognizing the situation, you wouldn't do that three times in a row with 2+ minutes left in the game and put the Knicks in the bonus. That made no sense. That was where you got to recognize the situation, think through it. And I think if you want to highlight that for Mazzulla, that was an issue. 617-779-7937. Let's get into some of the looming changes that could factor in with the Celtics this offseason. And Brian Windhorst, this one's relatively hot off the press. He says the Celtics are – Hoss of the Week?
Could be a Horse of the Week.
A Horse of the Week? he says the Celtics are confused about why they're losing. You're going to want to hear this with all your phone calls next.